Hey, thanks so much for being here. We have all seen the headlines. Yesterday was breaking news here in Maricopa County, a case of monkeypox suspected, the first case we've seen in Maricopa County. The CDC a couple of days ago recommending masks and then kind of walking that back. What's the truth? What's the reality? Should we be concerned about this? Dr. Nick Staub, medical epidemiologist at Maricopa County Department of Public Health, joins us. Doctor, let's start with masks. Is that helpful in this? Should we be concerned about monkeypox? One case, is that enough to be worried about?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think you accurately described what we've heard over the last couple of days. It's really important to know that monkeypox is primarily transmitted by direct skin-to-skin contact. So most cases are going to be from that direct contact. There is a smaller risk of an individual who has monkeypox and has lesions or the rash in their mouth, that it could be transmitted by either respiratory or oral secretions. And so that is why, out of an abundance of caution, there is the recommendation that a mask could help prevent the transmission of monkeypox. It's also really important to note that right now we're seeing an increasing number of COVID cases in Maricopa County, and we're seeing an unseasonably high flu numbers. So wearing a mask will also help protect you against those. So, yes, if you are particularly concerned about your risk for any of those diseases, we would recommend that you wear a mask at this time when you're in crowded places.
Do you, as someone who's an expert in this field, I won't take any offense about the media part of this, do you sometimes get amused at how quickly the media jumps on something and are they turning it into something it doesn't need to be?
You know, I think we just went through a couple of years where we were all trained to respond to, you know, these changes in public health announcements and to pay closer attention to them. You know, in public health, we're happy to have this attention because one of our goals in this announcement yesterday was to make the public aware that there is a case here and that there is the possibility of more cases. So we want people to be looking out for new concerning rashes or, you know, the fever and the swollen lymph nodes that comes before. And we also really want our healthcare providers out there to be thinking about monkeypox, because we can stop transmission if we can identify cases and make sure that they're appropriately staying away from other people and controlling transmission that way.
What is the time frame? Time frame from first symptoms, time frame to when you're no longer contagious, and time frame for when you're past the illness?
Yeah, so usually monkeypox starts with, you know, a fever, swollen lymph nodes, just not feeling well. That lasts for a couple of days before the first parts of the rash are noticed. That rash goes through an evolution, looks different ways at different times over anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks. And it ends with that rash scabbing over. And until those scabs really fall off, that person is considered infectious. So you're looking at about, you know, 2 to 4 weeks of an infectious period where we would ask someone to isolate and to stay away from other people to avoid transmitting the virus.
Dr. Nick Staub is joining us. He's a medical epidemiologist from Maricopa County Department of Public Health. You mentioned the COVID numbers, and I'm still one of the people that every Wednesday writes down the numbers. And we are seeing an increase, as you said, in cases, over 14,000 recorded over the past week. But what has remained very, very consistent is the overwhelming number of hospitalizations and deaths are people over the age of 65. Is the county doing anything with how they are recommending we are careful? Are we reaching out to older people and letting them know they are still the most at risk?
You know, we're constantly reaching out to our partners who work with those highest risk age groups, different partners in the community, to make sure that the message is getting out there, specifically the message that those at highest risk really need to stay up to date with their COVID vaccination. So if you are in that oldest age group, that now means that you are eligible for a second booster after your first one or two vaccines. So we're really encouraging people to get out there. We know that only about 30% of those who completed their first one or two vaccines, so that first primary series, are now up to date. So we have a lot of work to do to update our seniors who are at that highest risk. And so, you know, every effort we have or every opportunity we have like this one, we like to get that message out there.
And seeing an uprise in cases, we are not necessarily seeing so much of that in hospitalizations and deaths, which is good news. We're looking at 2% in hospitalization rate and a 0.2% in death rate. Is that encouraging that this is becoming, it is still remaining very contagious, but it is dropping off in severity?
That is encouraging, but again, anytime we have high transmission, you're still going to get those severe cases. So obviously, we want to decrease transmission, but you're right. We follow hospitalizations very closely. That is part of the CDC's COVID community level, which we currently are at low. We expect, because our transmission is increasing, that that will bump to a medium level this week, but not really seeing it go higher than that because our hospitalizations are low, and that's part of that measurement. So again, we have good relationships with our healthcare partners in the county, and so we're keeping track of that. But you're right, we're seeing less severe cases, and that's part of this transition of COVID from being a pandemic public health emergency to what will be just an endemic, more routine respiratory illness.
And your experience with these things, is that pretty much the trend in how it's going to go, or is there still an opportunity for another variant of this to come along that could be more severe and more deadly, or is that not the path these viruses take?
Well, remember, we don't really have much of an experience with this. This was the first, you know, worldwide pandemic of a novel respiratory illness to come around in a long time. So, you know, we do expect that. We've seen that with the evolution of other human coronaviruses. But as long as there's high transmission, there's the opportunity for that virus to mutate and to have a new variant. So, again, we're hopeful if we can keep up with our vaccination, if we can keep up with our, messaging that at times when we're seeing this surge in transmission, we can do things like wear masks when we're in public, always stay home and away from others if you're sick, and get tested so you know if you have COVID-19. That all remains, you know, in effect and our recommendation to try and control transmission.
Any risk? Should parents be concerned about masks being mandated back in schools again in the fall based on the numbers going up the way they are?
So I don't think there should be a concern about mandates, but it will continue to be a public health recommendation that if schools are seeing local transmission, so if they're having outbreaks, and working with public health because they have a high number of cases, if our community transmission is very high again, we in public health will make the recommendation to wear masks indoors. That will largely be up to parents and families to decide, you know, how they will follow those recommendations.
Well, Doctor, I appreciate the time this morning, and hopefully we can talk again about this and when its numbers going back down.
I would appreciate that. Thank you.